Greetings, this is Cindy Kennedy, and I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast series at www.livingwithlyme.us. This will keep you up to date on all our new releases. And I'd also like to offer you a complimentary guide to probiotics if you visit my integrative wellness site at www.pursuewellness.us and subscribe to that. Living with Lyme podcast guests may be discussing very controversial topics. The information contained in these podcasts are from the guests' personal experiences and are their own opinions. These podcasts are intended for information. The opinions expressed are solely the guest's own. Please discuss treatment options with your personal healthcare providers before changing or adding treatments. Enjoy the podcast. Hi, everyone. This is your host, Cindy Kennedy, and you are listening to another episode of Living with Lyme. Today, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Jabin Moore, and he is a doctor of chiropractic studies, and his practice is in North Kansas City, Missouri. Dr. Moore's passion for restoring health is not only a single therapeutic, but a multi-therapeutic approach. His training is in true cellular healing, chiropractic plus kinesiology, applied kinesiology, clinical kinesiology, acupuncture, bioresonance therapy, sacrooccipital technique, nutrition, rehabilitation, functional medicine, blood laboratory analysis, and live cellular microscopy. He has furthered his education by mastering functional blood chemistry, mastering thyroid, mastering brain chemistry, and he's trained with several Lyme disease and parasitology experts. Dr. Jabin has become very passionate about restoring health by two personal struggles. We're going to hear about them both and a lot more. It's very exciting and great to have you with me today. Hi, Dr. Jabin. How are you?
Hi, I'm very good. It's a cool day here in Kansas City, so that's always exciting since it's been about 100 all summer.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good because I'm just jealous right now. It's a sweltering 100 degrees here in Massachusetts. So I'm giving myself a little fan here. So your chiropractic studies, how did you start in chiropractic? And then let's talk a little bit about how you became so passionate about restoring health. Because I know there's a couple of stories that go with it, and people like to know you, and I know those stories will lend credence to what you're doing in life there.
Well, I'll try to not spend an hour with my stories here, but I'll say I wanted to be a doctor since I was 5 years old. I told my mom that when I was running around the house, and she's just like, okay, you know, no one in my family had ever been to college. And about 10 years old, she got very, very ill. And I can remember specifically the day, it was a snowy day in Kansas City, a car accident happened. My mom went to the hospital, and she had been getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and no one knew why. And the doctor walked in and said to her, are you diabetic? And she said, no, I'm not. And so he ran some more blood work. So he had, at this point, ran 3 hemoglobin A1Cs and came back and said, no, you are diabetic. And from there, her journey started of trying to find out what was going on with her health. Because for over the past 2 years, she had gained 100 pounds, even though she was eating rice, chicken, and broccoli with a personal trainer. She had become chemically depressed, had ulcers in her stomach, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, couldn't get out of bed. She would belch and just be in pain constantly. And this health for her kept going. And at one point she looked at me and she said, I don't think I'm going to make it. Like, I need you to learn how to do the checkbook because your dad's dyslexic and he's not going to be able to. So that was 10 for me. And so at that age, I watched my mom's health, already having a passion to be a doctor from age 5. And that drove me to wanting to learn how to heal people. But when I got to college, I couldn't understand how giving someone medications was the only route. So I started looking at many different medical routes, many different medical ideals and philosophies. And for me, I never wanted to take ibuprofen. I never wanted to take Advil when I was sore from working out, even though other guys would. So chiropractic just seemed to fit a little bit more for me, especially the functional medicine side, because for me, with my mother, when she started eating well and started getting an understanding of how her body works, she started feeling better. So that's why it took me the way of chiropractic. Was it just seemed to be a way of finding a solution that's more holistic, more natural. And I just never felt comfortable with a pill cures or a pill fixes or a pill to be on forever.
Right, right. You had a personal journey as well.
I did. So after I got through my undergraduate and I got into chiropractic school, I lost 60 pounds in chiropractic school because I was a college All-American in track and field, and I was a shot putter. So I was lifting weights all the way through college and doing everything it took to be a strength athlete. And I didn't need any of that extra weight when I was going through chiropractic school. And as I lost the weight, started eating cleanly and started taking time to make sure that I was very healthy, my joints started to hurt. My brain started getting foggy. My energy level started getting a little bit lower and a little bit lower. But what really, really tipped the scale for me to start searching, because at that point I was in school, I was in year round, 30 credit hours a semester type medical type school, which is chiropractic school. It's where you're just being pounded. So I was like, okay, tiredness could be just due to school. Well, when I was 25, I developed erectile dysfunction and went to the doctors, and they said, well, that just happens to some guys. And I just looked at him and I said, what?
You know, by seeing you, I know that that's highly impossible to be something that's normal, because you, you've got those shoulders and those biceps that, you know, someone who's very well trained and has adequate muscle. So unless you lost a lot of muscle, I'm having a hard time believing that your testosterone was low.
You know, my physical body was functioning, but my body was so inflamed due to all of the things going on that I had no idea about, being Lyme, but I had no idea what it was at the time. And I was in search of the answer, but because I was so inflamed, something I talk to my patients about all the time is when your cells get inflamed, they don't accept that signaling molecule properly. They don't allow testosterone and estrogen and thyroid to get to the cell and tell the DNA what to do and to make your body work for you, because all hormones are signaling molecules. So at the time, you know, when a doctor said, no, that's just normal. It happens to people. You know, you can take this pill whenever you need that function.
Yeah.
I was like, no. That's not the way this is going to work. I was actually more muscular then, because now all I do is spend all my time on podcasts, listening to podcasts, researching and studying. I still exercise, but not quite the hours and hours a day that I was putting in then, because I was younger and wanted to lift more than everyone else in the gym. I mean, I just had aspirations of an athlete. So yeah, that's what was told to me. And I went and searched, and I was told to take, well, you could take proarginine supplements, or you can take these nitric balance supplements. You could take medications, you can take this or that. But I'm like, well, what's the cause? What is the cause? What is making this happen? And, you know, it was pretty hard for me. And I don't want to say that I was depressed, but maybe I was. It was a heavy weight as a 25-year-old for that function to decrease, much less being tired and having pain and brain fog. So for me, my journey led me to a functional medicine conference where a guy said, you know, maybe it's Lyme disease. And he was a kinesiologist. He muscle tested me and said, I think that's what you have. And I don't know how to fix it. And I go, well, that's
okay. Okay. On to the next person. Hello, I have this problem and I'd like to know if you can fix it.
Yeah. And I listened to your story, and you went through years of looking for somebody. Fortunately, this gentleman that tested me, he and I were doing some techniques together. We had heard of another doctor up in Wisconsin who had had the same struggle that you and I have gone through. And he had learned how to get through Lyme. And I went up to him, and his protocol was pretty heavy-handed. So it wasn't with antibiotics, but it was with heavy herbals. And he just said, take 3 doses of this and 3 doses of this, and in 3 months you'll feel better, and the road getting there might not be so good. And I remember feeling like I was floating because I was so toxic inside, and I didn't feel good going through it. So I've learned a lot of protocols about detoxing and how to balance the body to not quite hammer you so hard, not have the herxes. But I got better. And through his protocol, I can gladly say to you today, it's been 5 years since I've been treated for anything that has to do with Lyme. So, that was kind of my story. It took me several months there, and then I had to do heavy metal detoxes afterward and different things that I learned throughout, but it's been 5 years.
Wow. Congratulations. You know, it's a big step in your health journey. And, I know that people who are listening are, you know, struggling for a variety of reasons because there's just no one thing that matches everyone else's struggles. Because especially with Lyme, you don't have the same symptoms. And some people have great pathways for detoxification and other people become very, very toxic because of all that buildup. And learning more about detoxification and the role that plays, the better you're going to feel and the sooner you're going to feel better. I guess the only thing I can say is, geez, I'm really sorry. But in light of what you've been through has brought you to the road where you're probably helping countless numbers of people.
It has. You know, I thought going into chiropractic, I was going to be able to help people with their pain and athletes, because I was an athlete and I was passionate about that. I got a master's degree in biomechanics, and then Lyme hit, and it drove me down this road of Lyme that I knew nothing about. But I have a fiery passion to help patients, and I've had the opportunity to work with so many people, because the day I went into practice, the doctors that I had searched and gone for help with that didn't know how to work with Lyme, or maybe they did, but they weren't located anywhere near here, and the patient wanted to be near Kansas City. My first patients walking into my clinic as a graduate were Lyme patients.
Really?
So it was trial by fire for me. It was, okay, here you go. Take the sickest of the sick and the ones that nothing seems to ever be straightforward on, and just go.
Yeah.
So I was so fortunate, though, because if, like in your practice, you're probably a very busy nurse practitioner where you didn't have hours and hours and hours to spend with one patient, but I did, because I didn't have a long list of patients. I had a few. So I spent hours trying to figure them out. I spent days researching articles and calling other practitioners and doing Eastern medicine testing and trying to figure out what made each person's body different, which has now led to where when I'm busier, I have a lot of experience with spending that time to figure out that difficult case.
Right. So you can do it quicker, you know, you're right, because you don't have that amount of time, but I think you become a lot more capable of doing it in a better and a more efficient manner.
Oh, for sure. You know, I now can see a Lyme patient walk in, and our first visit's an hour for the first visit, and then the next one's give or take an hour too. And it's just gathering information and then deciding to run a few labs and to do a few other things and having them come back and going through that information. And because I was able to sit down and spend time, I've gotten patients in that have been to those majorly big named clinics that I don't know if I want to say all
no,
the names.
No, don't say anything, because then I got to edit it.
Yeah. So those big name clinics where they walk in with a stack of labs so tall that I just can't believe it. And they are told there's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, that's where your weight training comes in your daily activities, carrying those stacks of yeah, and then they repeat the labs like they're going to change in like 2 weeks because something different's going to happen, and that's not the case. So, you know, a lot of people don't understand what kinesiology is. So tell me how that works in your practice.
So, I describe it as basically, I use some alternative or Eastern medicine testing. What kinesiology work is, is it was discovered back in the 1950s, and it's just the body's ability to respond to questions. So you use muscle testing to do it, and you pose questions to the body through either different places that you can touch, which are called reflexes, or using different herbals or other things to get the body to respond to. And I can tell you this, as a practitioner that working with Lyme patients, straightforward Western medicine with labs, even though I love labs, that just, it doesn't seem to give me all the information. And being able to test a patient to ask their body, you know, is your liver struggling even though your liver enzymes are okay, is so important to me, because methylation and making sure that the body is processing through the detox pathways doesn't always come straightforward on labs. And if it does, it gets to be at a great expense. So it's just simply asking the body questions.
Okay. Is this generalized muscle testing with the use of holding a particular substance and testing the muscle reaction to that?
That is one way I do it. I also use a technique called CPK, or it's also referred to as bioresonance testing, where there's some other added pieces in, which is the clinical kinesiology, which is using hand modes or frequencies to test the body.
Yes.
So there's another big doctor that has his own technique. Another one that I've done a little bit of research into, which is autonomic. What is it? ARC?
Yeah, reflexology. Is that what it stands for?
It's like that. It's Dr. Klinghart.
Oh, yeah.
Some techniques that he's developed. So I've done some research into that, because it seems like the more techniques and research I can bring in, the better, because every patient has their own needs, and one will work for one and another will work for another.
Right. Right. And so you've got your patient. You're not relying on the lab tests. You're testing them, and you're very suspicious that it's Lyme. What does your program look like?
Well, I have them fill out a large questionnaire, several hundred questions, because I want to get an idea of how they feel themselves, not necessarily what the labs are saying. I also do live blood in my office. So I just prick your finger and look at it on a regular microscope, and we look to see what's floating around. Now, I can't make any types of claims about what type of bacteria is in there, but if there's a ton of bacteria in there, that gives me kind of a red flag. And then from there, I can look at, does the blood, what's floating around? Is there a bunch of crystals like uric acid? Is there fungus? Are the red blood cells just healthy looking, or are they disformed looking? So that's a big piece that can give me some ideas of where to go. And then I do a kinesiology exam. So I do some reflex testing on, does the liver have a response? Does the brain, does the thyroid, does the digestive tract? And then based off of all of that information, including that stack of labs that I either will run myself, or if somebody already has them, I'll just use the ones they brought in. Based on all of that information, then I start with supporting the body to build it stronger. So some words that I like to use that I've taken from some of the Eastern medicine training I've done is constitution. How strong is their constitution? I like to build that up. I like to make them stronger so they can adapt to the treatment we're going to do. So I start to support the digestive tract. I start to support the liver if necessary so that they can process through the detox that we're about to go through.
The detox program, people don't realize when they're not detoxing how horrible they feel. They don't realize there is an association there. They just think that they're feeling that way specifically because of what they're dealing with. And that's hard to have people take that time to do that type of, but you know, I think anything in life, if you explain it well, you use the correct wording for the patient, then they're more likely to uphold their side of the treatment, because otherwise they're back in the office saying, I'm not any better.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite ways to talk to patients when I'm treating them, I'm going to go, so here's some things that we're going to be doing. And when I give you these herbs, your immune system is going to get stronger, and it's going to start to fight back against these infections. And if it starts to fight back against these infections and it creates die-off in your body, that's toxic and it has to go somewhere. And if your body isn't detoxing well, then you're going to feel like you're hungover to start, like you drank way too much. And then from there, it gets worse and worse and worse until you feel so toxic that you get those really bad headaches and you feel fibromyalgia-like and you don't want to get out of bed. So we've got to support those detox pathways, and everybody does it differently. So that's where I jump into some of the genetic testing for things like MFTHR.
Yeah.
And I just talked to the patient about, if you don't do some of the strategies that we're going to add in, like coffee enemas and castor oil packs, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, the binders, then this toxicity becomes more of a problem than even maybe the infection in the acute moment. Like right when you're toxic, that can be worse for you than the infection that's already in you. And that's going to slow our progress down to where I can't get you well nearly as fast or effectively.
Is there, when you talked about detox methods, you just gave several. Is there a method to the madness for that?
There is. So another analogy that I've come up with is you don't want to create an avalanche. So an avalanche to me means that you start detoxing, but you do it to a point where you do it too quickly and there's too much moving, and then you feel worse just from trying to detox yourself. So it has to be done at the rate of speed your body can allow for itself to clean out. And I don't really have a method that I can tell you on a podcast that somebody can implement in their home, but you have to just kind of know yourself. And what I talk about with my patients is, we're going to start slow, and I'm going to start building and start building. And what I'm going to find out is what your body's capable of handling. And at some point, we're going to have a situation where maybe we went a little too fast and we're going to back off. And then I'm going to know where your body is and what it can handle so that I can keep that pace, so that we can continue to get you well the fastest your body will allow us, because everybody's different. And this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. Yeah. Do not try to run as fast as you can through this, because you will crash and then you will stay sick. And so many patients that walk into my clinic have tried the sprint with six doctors. And I looked at one last week. I said, I do not want to be another doctor on your list. You've been to all these big names and you're still sick. And the names were huge and they spent tens of thousands of dollars. And I go, I want to be the one that gets you well, not the one to add to your list. And how we're going to do that is, we're going to stay consistent with detoxing. We're going to stay consistent with protocol changes, and it's going to take time.
So I go, go ahead. It is going to take time, right?
Yeah. And I just said, can you commit to that? Because I don't want to be another name added to your list.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's true. I actually got that I don't mean it's a lecture, but I got that when I started to finally move off of the Western medicine track and go into Eastern medicine with a naturopath. And, I said, I'm here simply because no one else could help me. I said, you can only stay with someone so long and you're feeling terrible until you say, this is just not working for me. So that being said, When you're counseling, I just for my own knowledge, and especially because I will be starting to treat chronic Lyme as well as some other chronic illnesses, do you start with binders first, just to see if you can bind it and get things out of the gut?
I don't start specifically with binders. I start with more like a product that has glutamine, aloe vera, marshmallow extract, licorice, all of those things. Because if you look at the detox pathways, you got to be able to go to the bathroom first. Yeah. If you're constipated, you're not going to detox at all. So I start there. I make sure that the bowels are moving properly. If you're having diarrhea, then you're not going to absorb anything I give you. So we got to stabilize that. From there, I go into the liver and I start giving a little bit of support to the detox pathways. And I use a product called Clearivite, and that product is designed by Datis Karazin, who's a phenomenal functional medicine guy. He's incredible with his research, and he even teaches at the Integrative College at Harvard, so he knows what he's talking about when it comes to that. And it works really, really well to start getting those detox pathways moving, but not too fast. Because what I found, if you start giving binders to people that are very toxic, then that avalanche begins, and then too much starts moving out, and then they feel worse than they did before the binder. Now, do I give binders sometimes with people that have been through more or I have more confidence that their detox pathways are good? I do. And it just depends on what binder you're talking about. So there's very powerful ones and then there's weaker ones. If you're talking about bioactive carbons or charcoals, those can pull out stuff really fast and can actually make you feel sicker because they get so much moving. If we're talking about maybe a little bit of molybdenum or chlorophyll or things like that, that's not quite as powerful, or at least not quite as harsh on the body, then those things can be used a little bit more early.
Okay. Where does the coffee enemas take place other than your bathroom?
That is an amazingly beneficial thing, but it's also my last line of defense when I need more detoxification to take place, because so many people are uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
It causes such a strong detox reaction, which is great if that's what we're looking for. If we're looking to get a huge amount of detox going, it's perfect. But if you're just starting out and you're incredibly toxic, you know, I have so many patients that are bedridden or just barely can walk down the hall to get to my room. I mean, I will wheel my personal office chair out there and wheel them back to my room because they can't walk the 60 feet down my hallway.
Wow.
I'm designing a new office in downtown Kansas City where my hallway will be about 25 feet from the front, my office itself, because I'm purposely doing it because I have so many patients that have trouble walking when they come in.
Wow. What you need is one of those walk-a-laters or whatever that's in the airports. You know, you get on that and it just rolls you right down the hall.
Yeah, but then I don't want to give people excuses to stay that way either.
Oh, I see.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Botanical medicines are an important part of an integrative Lyme disease program. Biocidin from Biobotanical Research is a professional strength, broad-based formula that has been extensively researched for effectiveness as nutritional support in Lyme and co-infections. Ask your practitioner about Biocidin LSF and visit biocidin.com for more information. Allotest. Did you know that what you eat affects the way you feel? One simple test can tell you which foods to eat and which ones to avoid. Many people underestimate the power of simple changes. Allotest Medical Laboratory has provided food allergy and sensitivity testing services for over 38 years. Change your diet, change your life. The first step, Allotest. Visit www.foodallergy.com. Master Supplements specializes in probiotics, enzymes, and fiber that all support digestive and immune health. Their products provide results that you can feel working with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Their staff is available to help you decide which products and programs are right for you. Visit master-supplements.com or call 800-926-2961 for more info.
You know, I want to make a connection because we've not talked about this on any of my previous podcasts, but what's the thyroid connection to chronic health issues?
Oh my gosh, the thyroid. The thyroid, it absolutely drove me into the autoimmune world. I didn't even have a clue, but I had a patient walk in with Lyme. Her Hashimoto's was so off the chart. She was over 7,000 antibodies.
What?
7,000 antibodies. And she actually referred another friend to me that was at the same 7,000 plus antibodies.
What were they drinking? They were together too much, I guess, huh?
Well, they were just on a blog together. They didn't know each other. On a blog.
Okay.
They actually met in my office for the first time. But this woman had Lyme. She went to one of the major clinics, and she had heard about me through one of the doctors down there because this clinic is more like you stay 2 weeks and they get you onto your feet a little bit. Well, she'd gotten onto her feet. Her antibodies were still at 7,000. She came to me, and I started treating her for Lyme, just doing the protocol kind of as we talked. And we'd gotten to the point where I was doing antimicrobials. And she went back to her regular physician who had become a little integrative. And he would run these really big panels that were awesome. And her thyroid antibodies had dropped from 7,000 she dropped by over 2,000 just by doing a little support digestive liver and starting the antimicrobials. So he's like, okay, I believe it. You have Lyme because you're treating for it and your antibodies are responding. And now she just came in and it's been 3 years. She's lost well over 100 pounds and her antibodies were at like 300, which is still too high. But I mean, look at how far they've come.
Right. So if you've gotten better, but your antibodies are still high and you've done your pathways and the gut health, et cetera, now what do you do?
So now we're working into toxicity. We're looking into heavy metals. We're working on chemical toxicities and just stress in your life. Because honestly, when you're working with these autoimmune thyroid patients or autoimmunity in general, I talk about having a bucket, right? So if you fill this bucket, it's your body, your ability to adapt. If you fill it all the way to the top, you can't adapt anymore. So then stuff, what starts spilling out is sickness. Sickness can be Hashimoto's or rheumatoid arthritis or MS or whatever you want it to be named in Western medicine. It's the body's inability to adapt and heal. So with her, we're just continuing to empty this bucket and she continues to get better. And it's been 3 years, but it just keeps going down and keeps going down and keeps going down. And she keeps getting healthier and stronger and happier. And I mean, she lives a completely normal life now. She's got her kids, her job, her business, her husband. I mean, it's all back to, well, as she said this time walking out of my clinic, she's like, I'm good. I'm just good. Like, I don't have to do anything. I'm just good. I'm like, yes, you're good. Just
I know.
Live.
Right. And, you know, the thing is you have this compact, this relationship with the person that has helped you the most. And I'm sure when you say to her, you know, you're set, you know, go out and live a life. She's like, no, I want to come back and see you.
and she will come back, but it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 months. And she comes back in and she's like, can you just check me? Cause you know, I was still trained as a chiropractor. I still check her body and make sure everything's working for her. And just as far as like neck and back and making sure that wellness is there, making sure that there's nothing sliding in.
Yeah. My good friend's a chiropractor and he's like, come on in here, Cindy. Let me turn the power on. And
go.
I'm like, turn the power on. Let's go and do this. So what else? What else are you seeing in your practice that's really a challenge?
You know, I have been on the search probably for the last 2 years because of depression.
Yes, anxiety.
So depression, anxiety are so multifaceted. I just did a presentation on this just the other night. And what I'm finding is life trauma absolutely can set off depression. But there are so many more pieces to that puzzle. And men will not admit to when they're depressed. Just to put that out there in case the wives or anyone else is listening. But depression is so multifaceted. It can be gut health because your digestive tract bacteria are so responsible for producing different reactions that allow dopamine, serotonin, and GABA, which are neurotransmitters. They control the way you feel. The bacteria are responsible for the function there in your gut. So if you're taking mass doses of antibiotics as a Lyme patient or a Lymey, good luck keeping your brain working well and happiness going because you're killing off all your bacteria.
Yeah. And you know what? If you look up statistics, the largest reason for death with Lyme sufferers is suicide. And I think it's, you know, primarily the depression and the anxiety over the fact that they feel horrible, that no one is either taking them seriously or no one is really trying to help them. And that's a problem. Your specialty and your credentials that I was, you know, if I had to say it all in one breath, I would have not made it. I had to breathe a few times because there were so many sentences there. But how do patients make connections regarding what you do and where else they can find that in the country? Because, you know, we're out in the eastern part of the country, and I can't say I've met anyone like you.
You know, call me and I can tell you if I have a friend. Another way is I'd also do virtual coaching for patients so I can talk them across the country because there are just simply not enough Lyme doctors that have gotten out and tried to learn all the pieces. And that's, you know, that thing I said earlier where I was able to sit down and learn with patients for a couple of years before I got busy. And it sent me from one class to the next. But there are doctors out there that have done this, and I have several friends. I'll be honest, though, I don't trust a whole lot of docs because functional medicine docs tend to miss infection, and they just think about getting your blood sugar and your hormones regulated. And a lot of Lyme docs just try to kill things, and a lot of methylator docs just try to methylate. And I think they're all useful, and you have to be open-minded to using all of those things. So I tell patients all the time, interview doctors, find somebody that does some sort of energetic testing or muscle testing, and interview them. Make sure that they aren't set in their ways, and there's only one way to do it. Because an open-minded doctor is what you have to have for Lyme, because you're going to bring something to them that they probably have never seen, even if they're like me and they see Lyme all day, every day. It's going to be something new, and you got to have an open mind, and you got to be a puzzler. You got to be ready to figure that puzzle out. I mean, just this morning I had a patient come in, and she's now having allergic reactions to the new paint in her house after her house burnt down right when she was getting better from Lyme. And she had just wrote a book called Joy Warrior. So I'll give her a little spot for a second. And she's just like, what is this next thing? And I'm like, well, we're going to take care of it.
How did you figure it out?
I was doing some muscle testing in her home. I went to her house.
Uh-huh.
And we found out that she was having an allergic reaction to a type of paint they used. And now we're doing some different allergy elimination techniques. And the first one got one of her arms to stop burning. The second one, today she came in, her legs stopped burning. And I said, it's going to take several treatments, but we're going to get you right back on your feet. And the problem is she is double MFTHR along with 100 other gene variations where she doesn't deal with toxicity well. Well, living in a freshly painted house that's not non-toxic paint, you get toxic.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was walking my dog this morning and I was thinking, because I do write little blurbs and things to educate people on my Facebook page. I was thinking about it. Okay, I'm walking down the street. What have I come in contact with? And I look down and there's a sign that the lawn was treated. So I'm like, okay, there's one. Then a big diesel truck goes by me. I go, okay, there's two. And it's part of the day, and you don't realize it, because we're just kind of just going about it, and we think everything is okay, and then our bodies will take care of us. But sometimes the body becomes so overloaded, it's not going to take care of us. You know, a lot of people talk about gut health and fasting for periods of time or juicing. Do you use that in your practice?
I absolutely do. When I went on that search for depression, I ran into a group of doctors that do use fasting often. And I've had numerous patients do 3 and 4 day fasts, which you never start there. You've got to train your body to get there. But that fasting, I've had it get rid of stomach pain. I've had to give brain clarity back, get rid of brain fog, because either what they're eating is a food allergy or they're not processing well. But when you also fast, it allows your immune system to rest, because your immune system has to check every bit of food that goes through you. 70% of your immune system is in your digestive tract. So all that energy that your immune system is using up when you're not eating is back in your body for healing, which doesn't seem right, because you think you eat food to get energy. But if you have any body fat on your body at all, your body should be able to use it.
Really? So do you guide people in a fasting program?
I do guide three people through fasting. I have a Facebook group called True Healing Strategies that patients are in. And we went through a fasting challenge here not very long ago, where I had so many breakthroughs with patients on their anxiety, their insomnia, their weight loss, their body pain. The list just goes on of the symptoms that were broke by doing a 3-day fast.
And when you say that, is that just water?
I try to get patients, if they're capable, and again, it takes time. It's not as simple as just doing it.
Don't just do it, people out there. You really, your body has to be prepared for this, and you need a professional to help you with this.
But yeah, I do just ask for water. If that's possible, which is the most effective way. It's the most, I guess you could just say, on stressful way on your body. It stresses the body to work harder. Now, if you can't, I've used bone broth or done fat fasts where you are having coconut oil or something else in your fast. There's even something called fast mimicking where you only eat 800 calories in your day and you do that for several days in a row, a little longer than three, and it can create keto fast-like transitions, but it's not quite as effective as water fast.
What is the name of your Facebook page again? You said it really quickly.
True Healing Strategies.
Okay. And of course, I'm writing it down so I can keep up on all the information that you have just talked to us. And, you know, when you talked about allergies, you know, this here, obviously for this woman, was an environmental allergy, but people develop a lot of food allergies. And, I understand that it can be associated with, like gut parasites. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. And I got a little story for you here. I had about a 7-8-year-old girl come into my office. And she was allergic to all but about 5 foods. And not only was she unhappy about this, but her parents were so stressed you can't even believe, because try feeding your kid 5 foods only and not being able to take her anywhere without her getting massively sick, even excreting blood.
So tell me so that I know, she came to you with bowel issues.
Yes.
Digestive issues, blood in her stool. What else did mom say?
That was kind of the big piece. I mean, there'd be a little bit of asthma, a little bit of behavioral trouble, because food allergies can definitely create behavioral trouble. And I've got a lot of parents bringing kids for, you know, they act out, and it's to do with food allergens. But this little girl, she was just having massive digestive pain. I mean, crying in a ball. And then she would act out really badly once the pain went away. And with her, we went through an antimicrobial workup that took about a year. But I can tell you now, her mom's a patient, and she doesn't come in very often, the little girl, because she's back to eating all but, she cannot have gluten every day. She can have gluten at a birthday party. She can have gluten here and there with no symptoms at all. But she's able to process all other foods. And the mom, it was hilarious, because the mom, 2 days after leaving my appointment, started the protocol of antimicrobials and took one pill of one of the products I use. And this giant, long, green string comes out of her daughter. And she calls our office and emails me over and over and over until I got time to get back to her, because, you know, I'm with patients. And she's like, is this normal? I'm like, yep, that's causing all these allergies. So let's get rid of them. Better out than in.
Wow. Was that Mimosa Pudica by any chance?
That is one of the protocols that I went through. Yeah, that was the very first pill there. Yep.
Yeah, I talked to Dr. Todd Watts and I said, okay, what's with this Mimosa Pudica? I go, and what are the ingredients? And he says, I said, because, you know, it sounds more like a beverage that you have maybe with a little, you know, champagne and a little orange juice. And, you know, he said, no, that's not what it is. But, yeah, I'm, you know, interested to hear more, really personally. I really want to try. I like to experiment. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, while I'm starting this new practice called Pursue Wellness, my daughter's a registered dietitian, so she'll be doing the nutrition portion of it. But what we're doing is we're really trying all of these tests, and we're trying to see how we feel, how it reads, and what we should do about it, because I think it's really important. Like, if you were a chef, you should eat your own food. You shouldn't just make it. By experimenting with these and seeing what's going on with our body and how we're feeling. So Mimosa Pudica is next on my line. Now, go ahead.
So Dr. Todd Watts is a close personal friend. We actually went to school together.
No, sir.
And so he sent me Mimosa Pudica pill to muscle test to my patients about 3 years ago. And long before it was popular, and I've been muscle testing and playing with it and waiting for him to get all these things on the market. And I got little vials that I've used of it to muscle test, but that stuff is incredible and it has done amazing things for people.
Yeah.
And the neem product that he has, which I think, what we use is called Para 1 and Para 2 are the products we use from him.
Yep,
the Para 2 product is very powerful and they do some really good work and getting things out of patients. And patients will send you pictures, I promise. When you start this practice,
wow.
You're going to see more pictures than you want to.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because I practiced gynecology for 20 years and I did get pictures, or people, ladies would bring me in their underwear to show me that this is the color of their discharge. So that's kind of almost the same. Now, do you utilize that before figuring out that they have parasites, or is that just kind of generally part of your protocol?
So in that first couple hours that I spend with patients, I have a protocol of having them fill out questionnaires that ask all the questions about, are you having parasites, such as, do you grind your teeth? Do you have rectal itching? Are your bowels back and forth between diarrhea or constipation? Do you have abdominal pain? And the list can go on for a very long time because there's about 100 questions that we go through for that. And if they get a high score on that, then between that, the microscope, and a few markers in the lab work, such as monocytes, I start going, okay, I think, we've probably got a parasite in here. So I just kind of mark that down on my list of, these are things that we're probably going to have to treat through.
Wow. The idea about parasites usually freaks people out, because we all know, you know, when we get our pets, either kittens or puppies, that, you know, they commonly have parasites, and it's expected, but people, we shouldn't have parasites. We did have one story of a woman who was having a lot of discharge and really having a difficult time, and we just couldn't get to the bottom of it. And then, because when you swab, you're getting just a portion of what is there in the vaginal mucosa or in the discharge. So you're not getting every single thing, and don't you know it, we found a hookworm.
Mm.
And that's important. You know, you just kind of have to think out of the box. And I'm really excited that you had a lot to offer here. And I think people are going to be really, 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 really happy to hear this podcast and to, you know, start really being their own health advocate. I think that every story that comes forward, a lot of us who have experienced our own health crises have become more compassionate in the way of listening to people and taking care of people, taking them seriously. And I did learn one thing, is even crazy people get sick. So you can't always make that assumption that they're just crazy.
That's very true. It's not all just in your head.
No, it isn't. It isn't. So before we end here, I do have a couple questions for you. And my first question is, what ticks you off?
When patients come to me and tell me that they've had all this going on and their doctors just tell them that it's all in their head, and there's nothing else going on. And when I start getting a patient well and they go back to their doctors, they just ignore it or continue to tell them that it's just in their head.
Right. Yep. Why is that? What is wrong with Western medicine? It's not for the best. It really isn't. I mean, I always say, you know, this integrative and functional medicine pathway for patients is probably important for everyone just to keep them well. But the point being is that modern medicine is really great for bones, broken bones, and serious injuries, as well as surgery, et cetera, and putting out fires. But the rest of it really needs to come down to maintenance and getting to the root cause of what's going on with your body. Okay, now that I said that, I have one more quick question. And in life, you can be thrown some lemons, and your choice is to become sour or make lemonade. What's your lemonade?
Oh, my lemonade is the fact that I get to go to work every day and love my job. I was on a vacation, and if I'm gone for more than a few days, I start thinking about my patients and start thinking about my practice and start thinking about the things that I can do when I get back, and just missing seeing some of their faces, the people that I'm helping, and the smiles of people getting well. So my lemon turned to lemonade from lime, or from pain to purpose. So I'm one of the most fortunate people in the country to be able to do something that every day I enjoy getting out of bed and going to do.
Isn't that great? Now, if people want to get a hold of you because they want to find someone just like you, how do they find you?
So we have a website. It's drjabinmoore.com. Or our office number is 816-889-9801.
Okay. So I encourage you people that if you need to reach out to do that. And Dr. Jaban Moore is J-A-B-A-N and last name M-O-O-R-E. And he is quite an intelligent and special person for everything that he does. So I'm going to say toodaloo and thank you and remind everybody that this was Living with Lyme. Come back, listen, and become part of the solution. The more you know, the more you teach people, it's important. And for those who are out there and haven't subscribed to the podcast, go to www.livingwithlyme.us. Subscribe so you can stay connected. Everybody, make it a great day. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Living with Lyme. We'd like to take another moment to thank our sponsors. Botanical medicines are an important part of an integrative Lyme disease program. Biocidin from Biobotanical Research is a professional strength, broad spectrum formula that has been extensively researched for effectiveness as a nutritional support in Lyme and co-infections. University studies have shown that this combination of plant medicines is also effective on biofilms that may be hampering treatment as well as providing broadly acting herbal support. The liposomal form of biocidin, called biocidin LSF, is used by Lyme-literate physicians such as Dr. Richard Horowitz and Dr. Jill Carnahan. Ask your practitioner about biocidin LSF and visit biocidin.com for more information. Allotest. Did you know that what you eat affects the way you feel? One simple test can tell you which foods to eat and which ones to avoid. Many people underestimate the power of simple changes. Allotest Medical Laboratory has provided food allergy and sensitivity testing services for over 38 years. Allotest Medical Laboratory offers allergy testing for inhalants, molds, chemicals, and foods, as well as tests for food sensitivities, candida overgrowth, celiac disease, and autoimmune disorders. Talk to your doctor today. Take the first step, Allotest. Visit www.foodallergy.com. Master Supplements. Does living with Lyme ever get overwhelming and finding the right support seem difficult? Well, Master Supplements can help. Master Supplements specializes in probiotics, enzymes, and fiber that help support digestive and immune health during and after antibiotics. Master Supplements products provide results that you can feel working with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Their staff is available to help you decide which products and programs are right for you. Master Supplements is dedicated to science-based products with the highest standards of quality control. Visit master-supplements.com for more information or call and talk to a team member at 800-926-2961. That's master-supplements.com or 800-926-2961. Thanks so much again for listening to Living with Lyme. We'd like to remind you that if you have not done so already, please subscribe to the podcast. You can visit our website at livingwithlyme.us so you make sure you don't miss any episodes. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.